Thank you, Lord, for this day, a day that you have created for us to remember you, a day of rest. Thank you, Lord, that you still speaking to us. As we open your holy word, I pray, Father, that you give us the understanding. Give us a humble heart to repent, Father. We need you. I pray, Lord, that we don't leave this place unchanged. I desire, Father, that we don't only listen, but obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles to the book of James. If you're visiting today, we've been going through the book of James, verse by verse. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 12. Lord willing, we're going to start moving in. I feel like I am moving slow. Seems like every time I go back to these verses, I get more understanding of it, and I feel like I need to share this. And I know that even you guys desire to kind of let's go, move on. But I don't feel there yet, so today we're going to move on two verses. But I want to read from James chapter 1, verses 2 to 12. The word of God reads as follows. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching heat and withers the grass, its flowers fall, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. That's a promise. So we will continue to study this wonderful letter. We know that James is teaching us how to go through trials, how to be consistent, how to face them. So last time we discussed biblical accounts, we specifically look at James and Paul, how they responded to trial. So we went through those accounts. And as I mentioned, I want to move forward, but I want to present you a case, another account of a tried faith where the Lord clearly says, you know the fear of the Lord. So what comes to your mind? I imagine that something tragic that happened immediately. One account will be Job. But I wanted to take you to a man named Abraham. And it's in Genesis 22. But before we get there, let's remember some things that I consider to be important for all of us. And if you know them, you know, we should have a a child spirit that we need to be reminded, as I have been reminded. So let's remember that trials prove whether we live by what we profess or not. That's one thing that is important. James is saying trials in life will try us. They will prove our faith. They will prove if our faith is authentic or not. So the whole chapter 1 is about testing of our faith. And that is what James is trying. As a matter of fact, the whole book is about faith, among other things. But more specifically, chapter 1 directly deals with the issue of faith, the topic of faith. So in this letter, James, as I read and keep reading and go over again these verses, I think James here, he feared that some people would be strong in knowledge, but weak in practice. And I definitely identified with that. So we know doctrine, but can we put it in practice? I mean, is it our life reflect what we say we know? Because if we talk doctrine, I'm pretty sure that you guys can at least relate to it and say, oh, yes. Oh, the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. Yes. Justification, regeneration, among others. You can clearly identify. As a matter of fact, some of y'all can actually explain it better than I. Well, here's the thing. I want you to realize this. That knowledge can stay as just being that knowledge. So I think James opened the book and directly started, you know, his message as count it all joy. And here I am going through this meditation. Why? Well, you know, I look at some commentators, and I don't want to get into any details, but we know that the church was enduring persecution, among other things. But I clear on this, and I think that James had that in mind, that his brothers, they had in their minds, the Christian had in their minds, I mean, they heard, they know, but they were struggling with their practice. In the same group, others will be deceived regarding their true faith. But if you read the letter, he addressed them as brothers, right? Count it all joy, my brothers. So he's speaking to the church. So I want to emphasize something that James is not saying that genuine Christian will not fail the test, but rather Christian will be known to be consistent in their faithfulness. You get that? It's not like we will not fail, brothers and sisters. We will fail. It's just a matter of time. But the difference will be how we will respond when we fail. As trial should bring us closer to God, we know what to do. If you are a Christian here this morning, you know what to do when you fail. But keep that in mind. James is not saying that you fail, you're not a Christian. Trials in life bring a Christian close to the Father with a humble attitude. Because we know that we have no other place to go but the Father. Now, James presents and commands us to have a mindset, a view of the world that helps us to see the ups and downs of life from the biblical perspective. So let's go to our case of a tried faith. So please go with me to Genesis 22. While you get there, life is full of trials. As a matter of fact, you will have more trials than season of peace. It's a fact. And I remember when I was in high school, I didn't like math, and I was there and I say, oh Lord, I was an unbeliever, but I would call on the Lord. God help me, once I finish high school, this is going to be over. Yeah, soon I learned when I went to the army, I had problems there. And I have to be 100% submissive or not pay the price. And I said, when this basic training be over, everything will go well. Right. Then went to college and had more issues there and so on and on and on. Then I was lonely. Then I got married. It's okay, honey. One day we're going to have a family. We're going to have a job. Well, I got a job, you know, a stable job. Trials continue nonstop to come. But you have that mindset of this will be over and everything will be fine. We're going to have our children. We're going to have a house. And my wife got pregnant, I remember. It's okay, honey. Just wait, you know, until you give birth. Paula born. Crying all night. I was up all night. Get ready to go to work. It's okay. The time will come when she will sleep the whole night. The time came. Trials continue. It's just like nonstop. One over. No, one is over. The other one start or follow after that. So you get the point, right? The Lord is merciful. He gives us grace. He gives us seasons of peace. A season had a start and an ending. Trials are constant. Our life will be of a constant trial. So we must have this biblical understanding so we know where we are and what's happening and where we go on or move forward. Okay? So Genesis 22. When we think about trials, we can come up with a big list. Guarantee you that you always think about something tragic. So think about losing a job, financial crisis. Think about a call of a relative who said is sick or is facing a terminal illness. Think about the news of your spouse or son or daughter who have died in a car accident. Think about something tragic here, okay? I want you to think that way because the account that I'm going to present to you, it exceeds all of it. So I'm going to present you the case that is kind of unthinkable. Still, I want you, by the help of God, to think so we can understand it better. Okay, so Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. Now, let's read carefully here and try to understand. He got the call, here I am. Immediate response. After that, take your son, your only son, Isaac. So start making it that picture. Whom you love. See that? Whom you love. Not only your only son, but the one that you love. And go to the Lamb of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Obedience, right? Saddled up his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut up the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God has told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young man, stay here. Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both on them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, for God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to a place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. Take note of that. I'm going to repeat. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. You see that statement? Faith was tried, and it was confirmed that Abraham loved the Lord, that he feared God. And then we see the reason after that. Seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lift up his eyes and look, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Wow, what a test. What may this is a severe trial. Think about, I want you to think with me here. Was not that God was going to take away his promise son. That was part of it. But think about this. God asked Abraham to do what? To kill him. To kill his son. This is unthinkable. But God demanded that from Abraham. So imagine for a second that you are asked to kill your son at the request of the Creator. Just imagine. Now, God commanded Abraham to kill his beloved son. In addition, remember, in those times, children were offered as sacrifices. So God was commanding Abraham to do something that he forbid. Think about it. Think about it, all the confusion and all everything that Abraham went through it as part of this trial that God was testing his faith. So just imagine the confusion and the tension. Just imagine Isaac going with his father and he asked him. Just imagine the whole picture. Now, I do believe that Abraham was certain that God will make provision. Definitely. And I know this because that's what Hebrews 11:17 says. We're going to get there in a moment. But the question that God has for us this morning is, are you willing to give up your Isaac? Am I willing to give up my Isaac? And Abraham passed the test. And I'm certain that he passed. But that's what the Bible said. I mean, came from the word of God. So let's go to Hebrews 11:17. Old Testament, New Testament. It's the word of God confirming or affirming. And here we learn what happened. As I mentioned, this is a case of a triad faith, but not only a triad faith, but a passing. One that passed the test of faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, you see that? He was tested. Tested by whom? By God. Offer up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, listen to this, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So Abraham believed. Believe in the promise of God, didn't hesitate, took his son, respond in obedience all the way. His mind was set on this, the Lord will provide. Amen, he sure did provide. So take note of that, having in your mind, because that's exactly what James is presenting here, about having that mindset. About believing in the promises of God. So Abraham was willing to obey at any cost. We see that in the text. It's clear. He didn't hesitate. He trusted God on his promise. He set the standard of faith and obedience. We all know that Abraham is known for to be a symbol and a model of faith. So brothers and sisters, trials come from the Lord. Have that in mind. Trial, test what we really love. Question is, what do we love? Do we love something more than God right now? If we do, it will be tested. The Lord doesn't change. He tests Abraham, he tests Paul, he tests all the disciples, and he's testing us. If we truly his, he will test our faith. So this is the key, whether or not we really live with an eternal perspective, with that knowing of what it is to come. We already look at them, right, about James, the practical matters, and our first and second teaching. But first of all, let's do another review of it. This means that as using this case of a trial of faith, looking at what James is teaching us, is going to give us a better understanding. That's why I'm like, Lord, how can I move forward if there's more? But I learned this too. I mean, the more I look at this verse, the more the Lord will teach us. And there will be a time we got to move on. So we need a perspective on how we, with a biblical perspective on how we look at trials when the tragic events come to our life. So James is saying we should rejoice because trial had a purpose. And we know that. We are going to face them with joy. So that would be verse 2. Back to James again. When he say, count it all joy, because we know that they strengthen and deepen our faith. If we look at Romans 5, verse 3 to 5, Paul says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So we see there clear. One thing that I want you guys to remember is that trials does not just produce endurance. Trials will make us complete as a whole, all virtues. And that's amazing. God is using his means, trials, to mature us. But if you can literally go to here and say, oh, it's steadfastness. Okay, so that's patient. No, you're going to miss the whole point here. There's no virtue that God will cannot produce in you. Trials will make all virtues in us. He will work out all virtues in us. 1 Peter 1:4-6. Listen to this. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessarily you have been grieved by various trials. You see that? It's having that of the mind. Second, in verse 3, the understanding. So we're going to count it all joy. So we're going to have this understanding. That will be verse 3. But the question is, understand what? If you go to the text, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And that's present. So you know, so we know, so I know. But what do we know? What do we need to understand? Well, understand what? That the testing is producing endurance. It's producing in us perseverance. Trials produces characters. Builds up to the image of Christ. And endurance is not a passive thing. That one, take note. No one can build up on endurance as being inactive or just something as to be considered as passive. No. Let me show you a picture. An athlete who's preparing to run a marathon, right? Start practicing running 5 miles strong. But then he'll run 10 miles hard. You get the picture? In order for him to run the 5 miles, he needs to go beyond and train harder so he can run the 5 miles strong and be ready for winning or to win. Okay? So adversity is necessary for the development of endurance. So we need adversity to develop endurance. Again, we don't like that, right? But in order for you to get there, we must go through adversity. There's no other way around. Remember last time when I said it's only one way, and that is the Jesus way? Please allow me to remind you again. There's no other way. If we prefer, we skip that, but it doesn't work that way. Perseverance requires us to continue in the right path. See that? Actively to continue, not being passive. We must continue on, pressing on, even when it's difficult. So you need to know this. I need to know this. So next time you find in the midst of the trial, remember these things. Okay? And in all trials, just remember something. That we will come to a place that you can do this on your own. And that's the place when God wants all of us to be. I cannot do this on my own. I am hopeless. Amen that we are. So we know where to go. Exactly. That's the draw near to the Father. So you know by faith. Again. You see that by faith, God is the only one who can help me. So by faith, I draw near, believing in him. Third, we need a submissive will. Remember Abraham? It's amazing. Here I am. He didn't know. Here I am. I'll take your son. Immediate response. Here I am. That's verse 4. Read with me. And let steadfastness have its full effect. You know that word, and let? That's a submissive will. Okay? You are coming under Imagine a master when called a slave. Come, here I am. See that? That's the picture. Christ is our Savior. He's our King, our ruler. Right? And He's calling, He's commanding. Here I am. At your orders. We need to pray for this, to have a submissive will. Don't fight it. As a matter of fact, if you decide to fight, you don't know who you're fighting. So don't fight it. Perseverance will finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God will perfect you. 4, you need a believing heart. You need a believing heart. He allows trial because we need them. This is really hard, isn't it? And that's the verses that I'm going to present new to this study of the book of James. Verses 5 and 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For those who doubt is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, that he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his way. Trial can have an effect of clouding our spiritual understanding. It's a fact. It's true. Even pain can blind us temporarily. We're shaking. But then, immediately, as you go through the trial, there's a moment where God will make you think immediately. I cannot set a time when this will happen, but it will happen if you're truly His son or daughter. It's going to come that you will think, if you come to realize, I can't do this. I cannot comprehend. I cannot understand. I have fear. I am in despair. There you have it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Now, you may ask, so what is wisdom? Well, wisdom is the right application of the knowledge of God in life. Okay? Simple. That is wisdom. So where did you go to get answers when you are in the midst of the trial? Where do you get answers? Where did you go? Where did you go when you feel weak? Where did you go when you don't understand what's happening? Now you may call your friend. You may call your neighbor. Some people even go to a psychologist, trying to find answers. Well, I tell you this, you're not going to be able to find it. That's the bad news. If you are looking for an answer outside of Christ, let me tell you, you will not find answers. Well, how I sound that confident? Well, Job 28:12. Listen to this. But where shall wisdom be found? Where? And where is the place of understanding? Where? This is a wonderful statement. If you're looking for wisdom, mark this down. Do not look into the world. Wisdom comes from above. Now, you may be thinking right now, oh, but the doctors and this and that. Don't miss the point. I'm not saying you don't go to the doctor. I'm saying who to look for the answers of your trial. And remember, doctors are means of grace by God. But if you seek him for an answer, I'm certain that the doctor will not give you what you need to endure your trials. And look how James displays, I mean, beautiful presented to us. James says, let him ask God. Remember, God is the giver of wisdom. God is the wise counsel. He's the only one. Whatever he said is the truth. Whatever he said is the wisest counsel you can get. So we must go to him. When God gives, remember this, he acts accordingly to his nature. Okay? That's something that we must remember. So when we go to him, he's the giver. He's not only creator, but he's the giver. Think about that. So when you go to him for wisdom, ask yourself, is he able to give me that? What I need? And that's what follows. Let him ask God who give generously. Now, I want you to kind of examine this. You know, God is a giver of wisdom. We see that. I mean, verse 5. When God gives, he asks accordingly to his nature. Second, it says that he gives generously. Did you see that? That's what I see here. He gives generously. This word means liberally. Just imagine that. Okay? And not only he gave liberally, but he gave unconditionally. Think about it. It's a pure gift. He's giving us who he is. It's pure. It's perfect. It is truth. And it's for us. And on top of it, he doesn't expect us to pay back. He's giving without reproach. I'm stunned. I'm like, you know, like my son, he comes to me, hey, daddy, can I have $5? Sure, but let me ask you something. I think, what do you do with the $10 I gave you last week? We want to know. God is not like me. Amen. He's not like us. He's giving you without reproach. He don't want to know anything. He can, but he decided not to. Isn't it what it says here? To all without reproach. I'm thankful that God is not like us. Third, the Lord give us gift to all. Now, I want to emphasize this. To all is those that believe in him. To those that believe in him. Okay? Let's keep it in the context. This is for the believer. God is generous with his children. Fourth, I think I went ahead, but that's okay. Supposed to touch now on the reproach. So let me add something to that. He gave us without rebuke. He gave us without rebuke. Don't confuse. There's a time for you to be reviewed. In the context, this is not the time. Okay? Amen. This is the time that one of his children is in despair, is crying, need understanding. Lord, here I am. I need your help. I cannot look beyond. Please help me. This is the time when the Lord will help you. It's no time for rebuke. He's not like us that we question when we give. There's wisdom when we question, But again, let's keep it in the context. This is not the time to question. I want to give you a practical example. If you see someone calling for help, are you going to ask? Go and help. It is an emergency. We ask questions later. You know? You'll know I'm a first responder, right? So when I get to the scene, I want to help. Later, we ask questions. What happened? Then we sit down and we interview. Don't confuse. It's a time for questioning. But again, this is not the time. Brothers and sisters, please, let's do this right. And if you feel weak, as I'm feeling weak, I can't do this on my own, right? And that's exactly the whole picture here. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Same thing. As a matter of fact, I found some parallels. James, remember who James was? Amazingly, I found some parallels. Are you getting to the point? Because that's the whole purpose of this. I can't do it, brother. You sound the perfection there. You're teaching us the standard. Well, amen. So you feel that you are unable to attain it, as I feel. When we ask, we must ask in faith. But when we ask in faith, we should be fully expecting to receive wisdom from Him. Right? That's what it says here. Ask in Him in faith with no doubting. You see that? So when we ask with the fully, knowingly that we will expect to receive wisdom from Him. And that we must believe without doubting. No doubt. Now, have you found yourself with doubt? Of course. But see, here's the difference. When we doubt, we don't like it, do we? Do we like it? We pray, Lord, root this doubt out of my heart. I don't want this. You see that? You know what to do when you feel doubts. You know that it's foreign to a new creature that we are Christians. That is foreign. It doesn't belong, but it's there. So again, don't confuse. Do not judge incorrectly. When you see your brother or sister doubting, no. We know, even before, when we go before God, Father, I have this in my heart. Root it out. See, you know what to do. You're not just sitting and not doing anything about it. And we're going to touch on it, be double-minded. And no, I do this, or I do that. No, we know what to do with it. Plug it off. Take it. I don't want that in my life. It's a battle, absolutely. But we must believe without doubt. We know He's the giver. We know that our help comes from Him alone, nobody else but Him. So we're confident in that. We believe in that. We approach Him with confidence, knowing that He's the only one that can give us wisdom. The double-minded man will not receive this from God. Why? Think about it. Why the double-minded man will not receive this from God? Because this person is unstable. The double-minded man has two souls, right? It's split personalities, two directions. The double-minded people have committed, they do show committed to religion, but they don't have true devotion to God. In contrast, a true Christian believe that God will supply his needs. So if you have faith and do not doubt, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer, right? That's what Jesus says. Matthew 21, 21, 22. Clearly. And verse 7 says, for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Anything. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his way. I like James. He used, you know, what is around us to give us a picture. So, and he's giving us here. I mean, he later on we're going to get there. He used, firing up the whole forest. You know, when we touch on that tongue and so on. So he gives us a picture here, and here we'll see like a wave of the sea is driven and tossed. Just imagine that wave. Wave comes and goes, right? Some are higher than others, and so on. That's the man of the double-minded. And we can actually spend more time in this double-minded man that is unstable in all his way. But just remember this. When we ask, we must ask in faith. We must be confident that the Lord will give us what we ask him. And if you feel like you have any doubt in that request, pray God to root it out. I want to get to the closing. Please listen carefully. I mean, if you're here trying to figure out to have victory on your trials, let me warn you that God gave wisdom only to his children. If you have not made a commitment with God by faith in Jesus Christ, you will not receive his help. If you're here thinking that you're saved and you show duplicity and do not have a truly devotion to God, that's the key here. Not only what you said, but you must demonstrate that by your actions, by your obedience. And I think I have presented you different accounts when you see that submission. Remember Abraham about not only having faith, but what accompanied his faith. You got to ask yourself, what would have happened if he would not take his son? Faith will be incomplete. Oh, I should have said better. There's no faith. We're going to get there too. So Jim is like laying these foundations. So when we get there, you have a better understanding and a better picture. But that's what James is teaching us here. So if you're thinking that you're saved, but are of like a double-minded man, you don't have truly devotion to God, don't expect deliverance in the day of trouble. You must deal with your sin first before you ask for wisdom. So what it means is repentance. So brothers and sisters, let's remember we must face trials with a joyful attitude, right? Count it all joy when you meet the trials. We need an understanding mind, for you know, verse 3, and you need a submissive and a believing heart. That's what we need. And I pray, God, that we are all able to face trials, having the attitude from the biblical perspective. Do we have any questions? I know this is a Bible study. I kind of, set my mind on laying all the information here before you all, but this is a Bible study, so questions are allowed. No questions? Well, let's pray. Father, I pray that you help us to count it all joy, Lord, when we face trials. To have this understanding mind, to have a believing heart, to be submissive to your will, And Father, we have come to a point that we cannot do this without you. But this is your standard. This is what you demand from your children. So I pray for help. I pray, Lord, that you help us, that your Holy Spirit lead us into obedience. Oh, Lord, if we say that we confess your name, may you give us the help needed to follow that confession with obedience. And thank you, Father, for the trials, as we know that you are perfecting us in order to honor and bring glory to Christ. I pray for repentance, Lord. I pray that people come to the point of realizing their sin and their insufficiency of overcoming trials. I pray, Lord, that you grant them salvation as you continue to save. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. I pray that your word stay with us and help us to put it in practice for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.